today, I'm going to need y'all to be with me today. All right, for those of you that are going to watch the Super Bowl or anything and you show excitement, I'm looking forward to this evening when the youth, when I get to watch TikTok and see people slam their televisions, yell and scream because they're upset that their team lost. It happens every playoff week, and it's always fun and entertaining to watch people damage things for something they have no control over. So that's my highlight. Not the game, just the aftermath. But I want you to participate with me here because I kind of need that this morning. So, raise your hands, say yes, say no, whatever. But if you're silent, y'all all know what might happen. Are you too busy? That's the question for today. Are you too busy? We live in a culture today where one being busy is a normal thing. We're always busy. We've always got something going on that makes us busy. We find ourselves in the world that we live in with a million things to do with only 100 hours to do it in. We are constantly, constantly busy. When people talk, and you know, if you notice it, I don't know if you ever do, but there's sometimes when people talk and they say, as a filler. Do you know what I'm talking about? So if I say, like, you know, I was walking down the street and this person walked up to me and you start noticing, when you really start paying attention to it, it can actually be distracting. I think that busy is the word we use, like or. I haven't heard from you today. Oh gosh, I'm so sorry. I've just been so busy. Or we hear this, I'm so sorry, I've just been so busy, I literally work 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, 366 days out of the year, I just don't have time. For those of you that are living under a rock, you don't understand what I'm talking about, but a lot of you understand the word and the use of the word busy. We are busy. I am busy. I don't want to interrupt you. I know you are busy. I don't know, but I did a study. And for those of you that have lived during this time can confirm or deny. But in my study, I learned that we are busy now more than we were busy 50, 60, 70 years ago. That people are moving faster now and are more busy now than they have been a long time ago. Some countries take breaks for tea during the day. We can't even imagine that. When I was young, I used to have a thing that I used to do called a nap. Siesta? What's that? What's siesta? Oh, it's a nap. Okay. I thought you said Shasta. I was going to say that's a drink. Okay, but what I'm saying is kids would go through school and they would take a nap. How long was the nap? I don't remember. It wasn't that long. But we had time for time. Nowadays, we work more, we worry more, we have anxiety more, we relax less, we sleep less. And we don't stop to look up. When I was in Guam, I remember I was going through a lot in my life. This is post-war, no home. I'm on a ship, hadn't seen anybody. I was angry. I was dealing with stuff in my life, and I don't remember what I was angry about. But I'm sitting there in Guam, in the South Pacific. And I'm sitting there with this guy who was a higher rank than me, and I am just venting to him why I am so frustrated. I was so busy in being upset. I was so occupied, preoccupied with what was going on in my life that I did not stop. And this senior sailor, not in the Christian words, stopped me and said, "Do you realize where you are? You are sitting here with me with a pina colada in your hand in the South Pacific." As chess players would call it, that's a checkmate. And when I stopped for a minute and realized where I was at, wow, you're right. Have we become too busy that we don't even stop to look at the creation that God has provided for us? It takes someone to say, "Man, it's a beautiful day outside," for you to say, "Yes, it is." Have we become too busy? I know all of you, probably with the exception of Scarlett, all of you can recognize this. Do you remember once upon a time there were payphones? Do you remember landlines? Let me ask you a question. Did any of you lose communication with the whole world? If I remember correctly, you still were able to talk to people. You come home, you press the answer machine button. And sometimes it'd be full, sometimes it wouldn't be. "Hey, Gloria, I was just calling, checking, see how you're doing. Yeah, just give me a call. Bye." Beep, click. "Scarlett, hey, Scarlett. Hey, pick up the phone. I know you're there. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone." Man, click. Pay phones, you paid to use the phone. Now we can't live without our phones. Take your cell phone right now and toss it in the trash. No, don't do it. Toss it in the trash and see if you are not losing your mind within 2 hours. Now, some of you probably is not a problem. But Jamie used to always say, "The world's at your fingertips." You have little computers here. You can search everything. You can find stuff out. You ain't even got to bring a Bible to church no more. Right here. Want the Greek verb of a word? Right here. Let me give you a cell phone to make sure I know that you're okay when you get to your destination. In the past, we had pay phones. We had landlines. When we got home, we called. If we needed help, we got a pay phone. We call. We don't even have pay phones anymore. We've gotten ourselves to become too busy. There was a picture that I saw where there was a couple. Said 1970s. It was a husband and wife laying in bed together. One was reading a magazine, the other one was reading a book. Then it says 2020, same couple, both of them on their phones. Is that true? Yeah, 100% true. We become too busy. So now that I've acknowledged the fact to all of you that we've become busy physically, we've become busy mentally, here's my question to you. Have we now become too busy spiritually? Do you find yourself working too much when it comes down to spiritual matters? Now, what do you mean by that? I mean, like, do you make sure that you Stop everything. Time with family. Time to yourself to make sure that you are at service to serve someone, even if it's the cost of your own well-being. Case in point, my grandmother. It's my opinion and impression. She loved the service of the pastor more than she loved the church. Pastor Reverend DeCure needs flowers, fresh flowers. She had a picture of T.D. Jakes and his wife in a framed photo, like you knew them. She used to stop when we would go to church where she would stop and say, I need to make sure I have donuts or flowers for the pastor. I'm sorry. If any of you bring me flowers, we have a problem. Don't bring me no flowers. I don't mind gifts. Thank you. But flowers?
Thank you.
Hey, maybe that pastor was down with flowers. I don't know. But I watched my grandmother in her love. It wasn't a mistake, but in her love, overserve the pastors. I'm coming to visit you, Granny. Okay, come to your house. I sit down. How's everything going? Good. Luan, can you go in the back den for a minute? Because I have something to do, and don't come out until I tell you, because Reverend so-and-so is coming over. And this guy was a family member. So the world stopped because this pastor was coming over. Have we become too busy with that? Are we too busy with arguing with trivial theological matters? We want to argue about everything. Case in point, TMS. Dallas Theological Seminary. Fuller Theological Seminary. Have you found Christians that just want to sit there and argue with you all day over things that don't matter? Have you found yourself questioning every person to see if they're really a Christian? Well, that person was watching the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's a believer. Or as someone said on Wednesday, I'm not saying any names, but she's kind of sitting over on this side, talking about, well, pastor, are you really a pastor? Are you really a believer? I mean, you was watching the Grammys. I'm just saying she's sitting in the front row. She didn't say that. You had to use that as an example. She messed with me about it, but she didn't question my, But do we do that? Is that really a Christian? They did this, this, and this. Are they really a Christian? Are you? It doesn't take much digging for any of you for me to say, well, are you really a Christian, right? We are all saved under grace. But do you find yourself doing that? Do you find Christians doing that? I do. Have you found yourself working so much, so endlessly that you have become Martha? Are you tired? Here's another statement, another thought. Are you a person that's in a state of mind that your sin is just too great? I've committed sin that I am repulsed by now, and there is no way that God will hear me when I pray. Am I just full of sin? Have I made too many mistakes and God has forgiven me too many times? I am burdened by this because I know that God doesn't have time for me now. This is the fifth time I've made this mistake. There's no way in the world God's going to forgive me. There's no way in the world that God's going to hear me. Are you tired from that? Do you feel like you're far away from God? Do you feel like you had once upon a time a relationship with him where he was your daily counsel? Now he's a relative that you see once every family reunion. Are you tired? Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. When you're at Matthew chapter 11, please say amen. They're all there. All right, so Matthew chapter 11 and beginning in verse 28. Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humbled in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God. Jesus comes to us, and he comes here in his disciples. He's coming to us with a desire for us to be with him. We see throughout the scriptures, throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, and even in the Old Testament, we see Jesus wanting his people to come to him. We see in the Old Testament, God desiring for his people to come to him. Think about Adam in Genesis chapter 3. When he and Eve had sinned, what happened? It says that they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And so they hid from him. Why would you hide from him when he is walking, looking for you? And how do we know he's looking for you? It's because God says, "Where are you?" There was a time in which Adam and Eve had communion and time with God. God wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. We even see in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him and he with me." We have a God that desires to spend time with us. We have a God that desires to be with us. When Jesus is talking about, he's standing at the door knocking, he's standing and knocking on the hearts of men. He is knocking at your door. Will you let him in? Or will you pretend like when you don't want to answer your door and you pretend you turn down all the TVs and the radios and all that type of stuff and say, "Shh, I don't want to answer the door." Jesus wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to have union and a relationship with you. Why would he say, "Come to me"? When he says, "When you open up the door, then I will dine with you and you with me," we're going to have dinner together. And not only will I be having dinner with you, but you will be having dinner with me. Jesus is inviting his people to come to him. He's coming to the people who are hurting, who are busy, who are tired. Jesus says in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In the Greek, "come to me" can be better translated as "come after me." Come after me. All of you who are weary. What does weary mean? We know what weary means, right? Who are tired, who are worn out. Or it even describes as someone who is physically, mentally, and spiritually tired. Someone who is struggling. John Doe is running a race. Jane Doe is with him. Jane Doe has run this race before. John Doe hasn't. And their main focus is to finish the race. To get through the finish line. John Doe is struggling. He's tired. He's worn out. Jane Doe is just running along, no problem. But she sees her friend struggling. And what does she do? She helps him as he is struggling to finish the race. Jesus is saying to us, come to me, come after me. Those of you who are physically, emotionally, and spiritually worn out, for you are worn out to the point where you are struggling to get through, come to me. He also says heavy laden, a load to be transported or to be carried. When he says, come to me, he's saying, come after me, those of you that are tired, that are carrying a heavy load. Well, Luang, what is that heavy load? Does that heavy load mean my stress? I would like to say this. Your heavy load, I believe, is your depravity. What does that mean, Luang? Your heavy load is just sin in your life. The heavy load is your separation from him. And I'm sorry, some of you may disagree with me. And that's okay. I believe that your spiritual well-being does in some way, shape, or form deal with your physical well-being, your mental well-being. I'm not saying that that's the end-all, be-all. I do believe that people do have mental problems and mental concerns and mental stresses, and that is a totally different thing, and we need to be loving and deal with that. But I also believe that sometimes we do have a thing called spiritual depression. We feel so far away from God with our actions, with our ignorance, with our arrogance, with our cockiness, that we become almost like we feel like we're undoable, we're unfixable. So he says, come to me, come after me, those who are physically, mentally, and spiritually tired with your heavy load in which you are carrying on yourself, and I will give you rest. I will relieve you of the heavy load in which you are carrying. That's what this verse says alone. We can end it there, right? Jesus says, come to me. You guys are tired and worn out. You are carrying a heavy load. I'm going to give you rest. Well, that's easy to say, God. I'm still carrying this load. I'm still carrying this load of concern, worry, frustration. I'm still find myself just so busy that I can't function. I'm overworked and I am struggling. Barely hanging on. Have you worn yourselves out? Have you allowed religiousness in your life to get in the way of your relationship with Christ? What I mean by that is, have you allowed the customs, the traditions, that this is how we've always done it, to get in the way of your union with God? Like I said before, we're reading Bible together as a church. But what do I always say? Just stay in the Bible. It doesn't mean anything if you're just reading it just to stay with the group. Be in God's Word. Are you reading Psalm? No, I'm reading Deuteronomy. Okay. Are you reading Psalm? No, man, but I'm going through Genesis. No problem. Remain in God's Word. It's not about customs, traditions. It's not about those things. You understand that that's the biggest thing that has destroyed us? That's the reason why people are wounded in the church. Why people have been hurt in the church is because we've got to follow these customs and rules. No, we have to follow Christ. Sometimes I'll ask a question, why does this church do this? It's because we always did do this. Why do you read this translation? Because our church has always read that translation. I've told you this story before. I'm going to tell you it again because I like it. Man watches his wife making bread and she cuts the corners, four corners of the bread, and he says, you know, hey, why are you doing that? That's so wasteful. Why are you cutting the corners of the bread before you bake it? She says, I don't know. That's what my mother always did. So he goes to his mother-in-law and he says, why do you cut the corners of the bread before you bake it? She's like, I honestly don't know. That's what my mother always did. So he goes to his grandmother and says, why do you cut the ends of the bread before you bake it? And she said, because that's the size of the pan that I had at the time. We find ourselves getting involved with customs, cultures, and traditions, and we have no biblical backing on why we do them. I've been to a church. They've got a little orchestra on this side. They got the organ right there. When you enter into the building, the organ is playing. And you're like, oh. They have the hymn books in there. Good morning, church. We're going to be reading, singing from hymn 137. And then it okay, that's cool. Is it worship? Sure. They're singing psalms? No problem. Psalms, there's hymns, no problem. There's theological truth in hymns. Then I went to the same day I went to another church. It's like a club. Girls dressed like the club. I was like, oh man, I gotta keep my eyes straight. Were they worshiping God? They were worshiping. They were putting their hands in the air, but it was like a concert. Then you come here to Grace Bible Church, Oxnard, and you see, you know, Ramona playing on the guitar and people singing. You got the bass in the back, you know, sometimes you have the drum, you have your drums in there, you know. Okay, is it worship? Are you worshiping? Okay. But the first church said you're not. How dare you? How dare you have a guitar? What are you, some type of hippie group? Only worship is only with hymns. Traditions. Traditions. I hope none of you blame me for this. I really don't. But you have not yet seen me, with the exception of one event, you have not seen me wear a suit of clothes and tie. I don't like the feeling. It raises my blood pressure. Someone said you gotta wear a suit when you preach God's word. How dare you? But when I lift my hands up, I only can go up this high. I lift my arms up. Well, yeah, that's good, because when you're doing like this, it brings more honor to you as you're preaching God's word. Yeah, but you know what? The same prosperity gospel members wear suits. And they wear expensive ones. What do you prefer? God's word or the presentation? Do you want the broken clock that doesn't work, or do you want the name on the clock? Or, you know what I mean? You want the broken clock with the name on it, or do you want a clock that works? I understand people's argument. You must dress nice. Yeah, but what did Jesus wear? Jesus wear a suit? I'm just saying. He wore a robe, but he didn't wear a suit, though. And everybody was wearing robes. Jesus didn't look like nobody different. You didn't sit there and look at a group of people. If Jesus was standing in a group, a whole 100 people, you couldn't point Jesus out. He looked like everyone else. Traditions. We are bound by traditions, and it's messing us up. The only thing that we need to be bound by is what it says here. Now, if this becomes a tradition, then that's what it is. It's a tradition, it's fine, because the Word of God says it. But some of us are wounded by these traditions. Some of us are hurt by these traditions. We have traditions that have forced people out of the church. And they're wounded. They're hurting. They don't want to have anything to do with the church anymore. Are you tired? Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will relieve you. Sometimes we are carrying stuff that we're not supposed to be carrying, y'all. We're hanging on to these loads that we're not supposed to be hanging on to. Jesus is telling us to come to him. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, it reads this. It says, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. To him who lacks understanding, she says, come, eat of my food and drink of my wine I have mixed. Understand this, that when we come into the knowledge and the wisdom of God, we will be able to sit and dine with him. We must come to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. If we want to understand him, we must come into a desire to be in his wisdom and in his instruction. So would anyone like to guess what book primarily focuses on the wisdom and instruction of God? Oh, and what are we doing on Wednesday? Oh, okay, I just wanted to make sure. Proverbs says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of him, it's the beginning of it. Now that you have that, now we get to get even further into the knowledge of God. We can be able to dine with him when we are in him, and we are in him by continuing to receive his instruction. Matthew, let's go to verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. This is funny right here. Jesus says, come to me, all you tired people. You are worn out, you're tired, you're struggling. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Then he gives you an assignment. Take my yoke. Well, what is a yoke, Lawan? A yoke is a tool that was used to be put on cattle to move things around. And in some cases, they would even go as far as to say that the yoke was also used for slaves to put on their shoulders. It would be a wooden, uncomfortable feeling, enough to be able to, your neck to go through, and you would have things on either side that you're carrying around walking with. It's a yoke. It's on your shoulders. The yoke is on the oxen too. They put them on oxen. Sometimes they put them on two different oxen to walk together as they're carrying stuff. They're moving heavy things. So Jesus says, take my yoke. Then he also says for us to learn from him. Learn from him. So if I'm carrying my yoke. And Jesus tells me to carry his yoke. How does that work? Anyone want to guess? It doesn't work. So then how does it work if it doesn't work? I'm sorry? Oh, boy. Oh, wow. So would it be fair to say that we are seeing an exchange here? Okay, so what we are seeing is Jesus is saying, give me your yoke and I will give you my yoke. But Lord, my yoke is full of sin. I've sinned so much in my life, you can't hear me. You don't want to hear me. I'm not worthy. You've forgiven me over and over again. I wouldn't even forgive half of the people of stuff that they've done to me. I don't want to give you, how can I give you my yoke, my burden, my total depravity? For those of you that don't know what total depravity is, it's basically the acknowledgement that you are sinful. If you don't believe that you are sinful, then we have a problem. Total depravity means that you are completely of sin, you cannot save yourself, and Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. Every believer must acknowledge their depravity. So Jesus says, come and take my yoke. Come, I will give you rest. Well, you're giving me rest, but you told me to take up your yoke. That's work, right? He says, take my yoke and you learn from me. Very similar to the book of Proverbs, right, people that are in Proverbs with us? Learn from me. Guard your heart. Guard my instruction. Search out my instruction. Keep my words. This is what Jesus is saying. He is saying, take my yoke and learn from me. Continue with my instruction. Continue with my wisdom. What does it mean to take his yoke? Let's talk about this. Luan's yoke is full of contradictions. Luan's yoke is full of sin. Luan's yoke is full of hypocrisy. Luan's yoke is just full of just unforgivable, damaging sin that I will never be able to make right. That's Luan's yoke. I can't speak for you. Some of you are more holier than I am. And I'm not saying that jokingly. I mean it. I believe that I'm worse than all of you. And I'm saying that with all my heart. Jesus' yoke. He is God. Victory over sin and the grave. The truth is in him. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is purity. He has accomplished God's law, and he is the Messiah. That's his yoke. So when he says, take my yoke, you're taking off my heavy yoke where I can barely keep my head up. And you're reversing and you're giving me your yoke, which is pure, blameless, without sin, giving glory to God, all the truth. And then he says, learn from me. Now what do we see? We get a chance to see spiritual formation, spiritual growth. Because now that you've taken on Jesus' yoke and you are forgiven and you are healed and no longer are you bound to sin, now you begin to learn about who he is. Learn him. You begin to love him. You fall in love with him. As you remain in God's word, you start wanting more of it and you are in love with him and you become that tree firmly planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Psalms 1. Learn from me. Why? He says, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? It says, when he says it's easy, the Greek word means that there is no discomfort in wearing it. Also, it is a high standard. My yoke is of high standard and there's no discomfort. And when it says my burden, you say, well, what does that mean, burden? In the Greek word, it means a load to carry. I don't want to be a burden to you. We use that, right? I don't want to be a burden to this person. It means you don't want to be a person that weighs a person down. Jesus is saying here that his yoke to carry is easy. It has no discomfort. It is a high standard. And that his burden, his load to carry, is light, meaning little to no weight. How many of you have ever lifted weights here before? Okay, for those of you that have never lifted weights before, sometimes, let's say you take like a 50-pound or a 100-pound dumbbell and you do this with it, right? You're like, oh gosh, I'm dying over here. Or bench press, 200 pounds. You're like, all right. And all of a sudden they give you a 5-pound weight and you're just, right? Same thing. The yoke that you have, you can't move. You can't function with it. You're not moving forward. You're bound by your sin. You're bound by your circumstances. But when you take on Jesus' yoke, it begins to change everything. Here's the funny thing about it. When are you going to take time to rest from you being tired? Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden, his load is light. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we take on to Jesus' instruction? How do we get to know and to love him? How do we take on his yoke and learn from him? You already know the answer to the question. Number one, we trust and believe in God. Let's go back full circle here. Not just your spiritual, but your physical. This has been very helpful for me over the last couple of weeks because I've really tried to practice this in my life because this is 100% Luan. Luan's tired all the time. Can't remember the last time I'm not tired. You trust and believe in God. What does the proverb say? Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path what? I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. What did you say? Trust and believe in God. Pray. That's the next thing you should do. How many of you have a regular prayer life? How many of you pray all the time? How many of you forget to pray? How many of you realize that prayer almost becomes like a footnote to your life? Pray. Trust and believe in God. Pray. Read God's word. How many of us are reading God's word consistently? How do we take the yoke of Jesus? How do we do that? We've got it. We understand that we start by trusting and believing in Jesus as Lord. We know that we pray and we read God's word. Those are three things that are very, very important and foundational. Now, how do we take on the yoke of living Jesus' example? In Luke chapter 5, verse 16, this is what it reads. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness to pray. You understand that throughout the Gospels, Jesus did go away from people to pray. Do you acknowledge that? Okay, so we know that Jesus himself went away from everybody, from his disciples, to go and pray. Jesus is the prototype of the life we should be living, meaning that there should be a desire, and we will develop it as a church, we will develop it, that there should be a desire for every single one of you to have intimate, alone time with God, just God, you and yourself, and no one else. There's nothing wrong with prayer meetings, nothing wrong with Bible study. But here's the thing. This church should not be the jump start of your week. Some people drive cars, and they drive it until it gets too empty, until they once it gets to empty and the gas light comes on, then they go and put gas in the car and they fill it up. There are some people that don't allow their car to get past half a tank before they fill it back up. There are some people that don't let it get to a quarter tank before they fill it back up. Guess what? We need to be people that do not allow our tanks to become empty before we need to recharge. And how we do that? We need to spend time in God's Word with prayer and meditation on a consistent basis. So that when you come to church, it is nothing more than just a jump start on something that you already have going on. It is not, I am dead and I need to be at church. No. Your relationship with God should be every day of the week. You should not be opening up your Bibles only on Sunday. Jesus went away. Now, would any of you argue, well, Jesus, it was Jesus. Jesus was busy? You didn't think he wasn't busy? And sometimes the scripture says that he went away when it was dark. If I challenge any one of you right now to say, hey, you know what, I want all y'all to commit to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Start your, see, already. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray. And then go ahead and do your whole 18-hour day. Some of you are like, I don't know about that. Some of you can do it. Some of you get up in the morning, get in the car, drive before the sun comes up. That's time to pray. It's time, right? The point that I'm trying to make is that Jesus went off to himself, away from his disciples, away from the crowds, and he went to pray. And the text here says wilderness. Don't misunderstand it. When we think wilderness, we think the wilderness. We need to think like the forest, or we think the desert. We think wilderness. But you know what the wilderness is in the Greek? You know how it's described? It's described as a place of isolation. So it could be a forest, it could be a desert, but it's a place of isolation. It's a place, a way. That's why Jesus says, go into your closet and pray. Isolation. Jesus is the perfect example that we should follow. And let's start with that. If we start with that, making sure that you take time every day to pray, whether it's in your car during your lunch break, whether it's in the morning while you're going to work, or in the evening before you go to sleep. Take time by yourself to pray to him. And let me tell you what's going to happen. As you do it more and more and more, you will begin to learn the instructions of God. As the Proverbs share, you begin to learn the instructions, you begin to love it. And you know what? When death closes your eyes and you see Jesus face to face, the relationship continues, but it will not be in pieces. It will be in all eternity, and it will be like... I'm trying to get you to imagine what I'm trying to think in my brain right now, okay? I'm really trying to, okay? It would be as if, you know how you have friends? Like, any of you have friends? Okay. I don't even like my friends, but I'm just saying. For those who have friends and you have, like, let's say you have a friend or a relative that you're close with, but you guys have been apart from each other for a long time, but when you get back together again, it's as if you guys never lost touch with each other. I think that's the same thing. Lord, I spend so much time with you every morning just praying. And yeah, I know. Do you remember? Boom, 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 boom. Like, I just think of that. Like, the relationship continues on with eternity. And as we do that, as we begin to, because I know some people, it doesn't make sense. as we begin to spend time with God, with prayer, with number one, with trusting Him with circumstances that we do not understand, and we pray and we read God's Word and we do this on a consistent basis, then we have taken up the yoke of Jesus and we understand that, yes, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. We're no longer being like Martha and overworking. Now we become Mary that sits at the feet of Jesus. Jesus is the source of all comfort. He's the source of life. He's the source of salvation. He's the source of peace. He is the source of wisdom. He is the source of understanding. Why are we refusing to take rest in Him? If you want to take rest in Him, we know what we have to do. And it's not a time to say, I'll do it once I get my money right. I'll do it once I have 15 minutes of free time. Let me tell you something. I guarantee you all of us have at least 15 minutes. All of us do. And I believe if you don't have the 15 minutes, you are the perfect example of the 25-hour person a day. I promise you something right now. If you sacrifice time with the Lord, He will accommodate you. Well, I don't want to lose out on sleep. It's your call. But your life is a vapor. Eternity with God is forever. And I'm okay with losing an hour of sleep to spend time with my Savior, even if I am tired and I'm falling asleep here at the pulpit. Like you guys, all right, so turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. When you get there, say amen. And then Willie says, amen. I'm like, okay, amen, all right. Nah. I didn't mean for y'all to really turn there. Some of y'all started to turn there. I'm sorry. Here's the thing, y'all. Here's the thing. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. Become 100% dependent on Him. Pray to Him. Read His Word. And watch what happens. Take up His yoke. Begin to follow His example. His example is all in the Gospels. Follow His examples. I know I keep repeating myself, but I need to. Follow His example. Take time away and pray. If you do that already, then fine, it doesn't apply to you. But if you don't do it, do it. Because let me ask you a question. Last question before we're done. If Jesus is standing before you right now, are you going to tell Him I didn't have time for you? Oops. That's all I'm going to say. Because I just thought about that. I'm questioning myself about the same thing. Well, Lord, I was busy? Well, you were busy with what, Luan? I was busy preparing a sermon from your word to teach to your people, and you didn't have time to spend time with me? No. That's weird, isn't it? Lord, I was too busy. Well, I provide your heart to beat. I provide the blood to run through your veins. You're telling me that you spend more time binge-watching a show on Netflix, and you're telling me you're too tired to spend time with me? Well, yeah, Lord, I really like the show. No. So as I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself. We need to spend time together. When I say together, I mean all of you, all of us should have one-on-one time with the Lord. Now, if you want to include your spouse with it, great. But that's separate. I think that all of us need to spend one-on-one time with our Lord.